Hey, welcome to the Purposely Derailed podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Marrero Wilson, licensed social worker and author. Here we ride the track with all things mental health and get purposely derailed on the ways Christ is showing up in our lives. So if you think you've got it all together or crying out for grace, tune in with someone who's right there with you and let's get through it together. This is Purposely Derailed. Hey, y'all, and welcome back to, what is this, episode 4 of Purposely Derailed. I am your host, Stephanie Marrero. My sister made a point about that today, and I just wanted to emphasize the double R. And today I have an incredible special guest, someone near and dear to my heart. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Do you want me to introduce myself as David or Javi? Close.
How do you want the world to know you?
I think the world already knows me as Hav.
So
David Hav Wilson.
Yeah. So I have my husband. Hi, honey.
Hello, Dad.
So I wanted to bring him on for today's episode because I think that he is going to be able to speak to some pretty good points in the episode from last week. So last week we talked about imposter syndrome and I spoke from my perspective on kind of like what I've been going through and dealing with that. So today what I'm wanting to introduce is embracing insight and not really. We're doing that. Sir.
ADHD.
AD. Again, this is probably going to be the episode where you will notice that it's the most unedited because of my dear spouse, and...
Disclaimer, ADHD. There's a cat.
Yep. So all this is about to be in here. We're trying to keep it down because Evelyn's asleep right now. And you know, this is us. You might hear cats, pastries and heat. You might hear coal. So it is what it is, you guys. So like I was saying, last week I talked about dealing with imposter syndrome and kind of trying to live up to these expectations that we set for ourselves. And then really kind of recognizing the challenges around that and needing to have some guidance. Right. And so I wanted to, similar to what I did with the episode with Evelyn, is allow someone who I am fully exposed to, speak to that from their perspective as it pertains to me, but also as it pertains to themselves. And so today's topic, embracing insight, you know, that's something that in a perfect world we would just be able to have, but we don't. We don't. And a lot of the times we talk about that as in therapy and as a clinician, how amazing it is to be able to build insight and gain self-awareness and be able to catch those moments that, for example, you're feeling triggered and you step outside of yourself and you're able to see the situation for what it is and, you know, implement some grounding techniques and emotional regulation and validation and then be able to make, you know, logical decisions, which is all great. Wonderful. 3 steps of trauma responses. However, insight alone takes a significant amount of work and 9 times out of 10, you are not able to catch it by yourself. And people point that out to you first, unless you're doing a lot of great work in therapy. But I think when it comes to you and I, there's a lot of moments that we don't catch ourselves more than we catch each other. Right?
When you're talking about like how sometimes I catch myself talking to other therapists that I work with and I hear myself and I hear you talking.
No.
Because I hear that sometimes.
Well, you are exposed to, like, you live together. So, like,
yeah.
You know. But no, I mean more so in the sense of how many times does it take to, you know, me to call you out on something before you can recognize what it is for yourself or vice versa. Right? Mm-hmm. So that happens pretty often. And so that's, you know, you and I were just having a conversation about this, like, not long ago. How many times I've addressed things with you and it's like you know that I'm making a point, but it doesn't register for you. And so I tell him he doesn't have Prime shipping. He doesn't have same day delivery. He has like 2 day
delivery. I didn't have Prime period.
You didn't have Prime period.
I just got Prime 2 day delivery.
2 day delivery.
Some days. Some I'm on days, point. I'm like, days, same day.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Whoa, what was
the
that?
The dishes like, are done.
Y'all, can I say, like, going back to episode one when I talked about, I used the example of, like, the dishes. I can't remember exactly what I said, but let me tell you, them dishes have been done consistently. We now don't have a problem with having dishes more so than we have the dish rack just being piled up. But dishes, you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. So, I have some questions for you, honey, which I have not.
You might have answers.
You might have answers or
awkward 2 day silence.
Shipping.
Yeah, you know, it would just be like a
find him
episode 4B.
Find him in the comments answering all the things that I'm asking him today because he doesn't know any of these questions.
None.
And that's, you know, trying to keep it raw, right?
Derailed.
So, my first question, right? And you just kind of spoke this to this a little bit. Seeing as we are both working in the same field, what's been the insight you've gained on being married to someone who struggled with mental health their whole life?
Wow.
Right. And so,
out the gate.
Yeah. Well, in comparison to like, because this is now. This is now in comparison to like the beginning.
So before, okay, if I have to speak to
before. Yeah.
I was very naive to exactly what you were feeling. And I wasn't considerate. Yes, guys, everybody, this is on record. I've realized he wasn't considerate. I would show you love, but not sometimes what you needed in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, dealing with it and understanding a lot more, reflection. I'm able to navigate these episodes, I'm gonna call them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I was like, I was gonna call them a season. Because that's too long. Episodes, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I navigate mindfully now.
Right. And how do you think it's different being married versus just having been in a relationship? Because I don't think, well, granted, we dated, what, a year before we got married?
Mm-hmm.
And like it was a couple months before I was pregnant.
I knew.
Right. I knew. Okay. That's another episode. But
still say I knew.
Being in just a dating relationship, there was a.
Oh, there was moments. There was moments that I didn't know what I was getting into. I caught myself censored.
But I don't censor myself. I just happen to.
I've been trying to do myself better.
Okay. All right. I respect it. So there was moments where.
Yeah, there was moments where I could have just said, "Oh, this woman's crazy. let me dip. Peace." But I think it was January. And our first month of really dating, and you had a kind of breakdown, and you pulled your hair, and it was like something I'd never seen before. And I grabbed you, and it wasn't like a stop. It was just I grabbed you and held you.
That was at your...
My little apartment.
Yeah.
My one bedroom.
The room rent. That's right. Wow. Suppressed memories.
You suppressed them. I remembered them.
At least one of us did. Because I was like, what are we talking about? What? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was a moment. And
yeah.
I don't remember what the gist of it was, but something happened on your end.
Usually.
And no, I wasn't involved. It was like,
I'm saying. It's usually triggering myself.
But in that moment, I didn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
Or what to do. But I just knew that I wasn't going to let you pull your hair out.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
Like, grab you, hold you.
Right.
I'm here. And like security, which now I think about more. It's like, I got to give you more security when you're having these moments. Like, you're safe.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, we can speak to, you know, what was it? Walmart.
Oh, God.
Recently. And everybody know how Walmart is.
And I spoke to that in one of the episodes. Like, don't expect but me to go to Walmart by myself.
Yeah, so I almost sent her in by herself because she just so needed. Rude. It wasn't trying to be rude. It was like, okay, we were gonna have Evelyn. Evelyn ended up staying with your aunt, so it's cool.
Yeah.
And I went in with you, and instantly it was just like long line, a lot of people, a lot of noise. Like,
why are there always so many people? I swear, Walmart hires people to just stand there.
No, it's they fired everybody and they opened up the self checkout.
They fired everybody and then hired customers to just stand in line and piss you off.
They pay
people to shop now. They're like, okay, let's get rid of all this. We don't have rollbacks anymore. And make it look like, you know, people want to be here. But yes. Yeah, so now that you make a really good point, because during that time, I mean, we got together at the end of 2013. Anybody who was in my life 2013 knows not my favorite year. So I had at that point dealt with a whole lot. I had a history of, you know, I started self-harming when I was 9, and my first suicide attempt was 9. So mental health for me with anxiety and depression has always been something that I more so like internalized and just put back on myself. So in moments that I didn't want to cut myself, right, I would pull my hair. And that wasn't something that I tried to hide nor control. So in this moment, it was just what was happening.
I think that was the first and last time you've ever done that, because I don't think I've ever caught you again try to pull your hair.
You don't remember that wonderful time here in the house? Right.
I'm talking about you pulling your hair.
But that was happening that day too, though. It was a collection of things. You were there.
I'm saying you were there. I remember seeing you. I would have stopped.
You remember seeing me on the floor. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, we're not gonna go in there. That's again another episode.
So anyway, all in all, this is to say that in those moments, obviously, I am dysregulated, or I was dysregulated. I wasn't in active therapy. I had a lot of different stressors in my life at that point in time, along with dealing with a lot of just bullshit in general. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the best space. And something that you provided in the moment was this just kind of, at least, like, this is what I can do. And we're able to recognize naturally to give me some type of safety before I could see it myself. I didn't know what I needed. Mm-hmm. I was too caught up in the moment, you know? And when we talk about a trauma response and the way that your brain is going to process this, you have to, your body has to first feel safe and secure before you can even try to emotionally regulate. And you gave that to me without me knowing that I needed it. And it really did start helping me in the long run. And to this day, if I'm going to experience a panic attack, which thankfully I haven't in a long time, it's immediately like this massive bear hug that just happens naturally, right? Hmm. You're right over there?
Yeah, I'm just having like a muscle spasm and let me be.
Okay.
I'm trying to not move because these mics are amazing and I can hear it.
You can hear it?
I can,
you
know, hear every time I move.
He made a comment about,
why do you think I'm like over here?
About me, like, yeah, the first episode, he's like, maybe like when you need to, you know, drink something or like, yeah, swallow or whatever, there was no way for me to say that and not immediately like be inappropriate in my mind. Shut up. Maybe you should refrain from doing that. You were talking right now and I heard it perfectly. So keeping all this in, you guys. So again, speaking to insight, you saw something in that moment that I needed that I didn't. And that is where, you know, sometimes we have to embrace insight, even if it's developed in the lens of another person, because we can immediately get defensive when someone else is trying to say, hey, like, I'm noticing this thing, and it could be triggering, like, no, because we don't want to expose ourselves. We don't want to be vulnerable. So Now, that was only question one.
Oh, really? That was like a three-part question.
And no, that was question one. And you know, now we're in a much better place. You are the person I feel the safest with going anywhere. You know me better than I know myself. You can see things that are going to like impact me. Even if they don't impact me as bad as they used to, you're aware
of it. I'm prepared.
Yeah, you are.
It's like I got my armor on.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
You're ready. You're ready.
Do I need it on right now?
Maybe not.
Probably not. But you know, guess what? I'm like Iron Man. You know, it's a button.
It's the reassurance, though. It's the reassurance of me knowing that, like, you got my back in these spaces, even if I may not need it. And that's the other thing. It's like, you don't coddle me because of it. You know, if I sit here and I'm like in Walmart and I feel brave enough to go on an aisle by myself, like, you don't, are you sure? You don't do that, you know, and I'm grateful for that.
But when you are having those moments, I'm quick to say, yo, whatever we need, we don't need it.
We could peace out.
We can go right now.
Now, honey. This is...
No one needs to wait in that long line that's in the back of the store.
Messed up. So now this is obviously speaking to like the strengths piece of it. And like you showed up and I appreciate that. But what has been the most challenging part for you in doing that for me?
As in... Like, what challenges do I find out of it?
Yeah, like, how does it affect you?
Well, there's moments where sometimes I feel like I'm helpless to you I've had those. But for me, I'm usually just a happy, lucky go guy. So maybe I kind of set a bar, and if I feel like I don't meet it, I'm like, I let you down.
You let me down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because I'm trying to help you out. And then even if I'm saying it as in a situation, whatever it may be, and I'm there.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like not receiving what I'm trying to help you with.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, again, remember, I'm Iron Man. My armor's on. I'm ready to fight with you. You don't need me for this battle, or not even, let me say it, not say it that way, but it's you're self-soothing.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, so what do you need?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, do you need me? Do you not need me? Armor on, armor off.
Yeah.
What you need? Holla at me. Come on.
And if there's moments that I don't, so you're saying that that's like, for you...
Like a letdown almost. Like okay. I'm trying to like think of the words to properly put that in my mind.
Well, I mean, I think fair
enough.
It's
like an expectation. Like, yeah. Like I'm holding myself to an expectation for you.
Right.
And if I don't feel like I've met that expectation, I failed you.
So
and I failed myself, like I didn't do the job right.
So now if I am going through like a challenge, like an episode, like you said, and you're asking all the basic needs that you always ask.
And none of them are hitting.
And none of them are hitting.
I'm just like, okay, what, back at the drawing board, I don't know.
And so that like, makes you feel...
I feel like a Sims that's been canceled and just is circling around the room.
So that starts to make you feel like you're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That does happen. And on my end, it's more so like I want to be able to know you're there, but rely on myself first, mm-hmm. right? But I think that that's really good and kind of transitions into this next question because right now we are both on very personal journeys individually mm-hmm. and together, you know, and so for a majority of our relationship and, you know, getting close to almost a decade at this point, it has been Stephanie is working in school, interning and doing all these things. And, you know, I'm just here. I'm her support. I'm her cheerleader. I'm staying up with her. I'm doing those things. Like you got to eat, you know,
I'll feed all, you. What do you,
right.
What do you want?
Exactly.
You want McDonald's at 10 o'clock at midnight.
Right. I'm going. And there was never like a pause And at the same time, going through everything we went through with Evelyn, mm-hmm. And other things that you and I had gone through following that. So like going through the just very basic, we're married and going through stuff. There was never a pause for let's make room for you to kind of figure out your next step. There, we tried at one point when you did go back to school.
Oh, but that was in 2014, 2015. So it was like in the beginning.
Was it?
Yeah, trust me. I looked. it was 2014 fall.
Really?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. I can pull it up later. And we can discuss that.
So that was before Evelyn got sick? Yeah. Oh.
And then, because I think 2015, because I think it was fall, spring.
Yeah.
And then for fall 2015,
oh, yeah.
I dropped everything because like you were in school. Right. It was too much for me. I was like, I'm working and I was trying to be the best employee at Bay State ever, which that's neither here nor there now. But I was giving so much to a place that wasn't giving back.
Right.
Mm. So I was like,
that's a lot we can say there.
Another episode.
We'll see.
Or maybe not.
We'll see.
That's a different podcast.
So it just deserves its own podcast.
Four people.
Anyway. So, okay. So now here we are where I've finished school. I'm licensed and just more so going through the clinical piece of it. So, and I'm kind of just like, cool, working on Beneath the Healing, doing my thing, coasting right now. And that makes room for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in this strange
shift. Because now I'm working full time.
Yep.
I'm in school full time.
Yeah.
And yes, everybody, guess what? I want to be a therapist.
You want to be a social worker.
I want to be a social worker. Yeah.
Therapist is just underneath the umbrella, but
wherever it takes me.
Right.
I got some avenues I feel like I can fill in.
Absolutely. We need you.
I've never felt, it's a different feeling from my past experience with any job.
Mm.
Nothing's the same. There's no real straight everyday routine.
Right.
Everything is like, in a moment's notice, things can change.
Yep.
You can get cancels. You can get add-ons. You can get calls that you didn't expect to have. And it's a learning moment.
Right. Yeah, it is. And so what kind of things can you speak to that we've had to shift to be able to make room to support both our journeys? Because right now I spoke to a little bit about the transition I made within these last, like, 3 months, and we'll kind of come back to that. But essentially, we've had to make some changes. And so within our marriage, what kind of things can you speak to that have had to change in order to better support you?
Things in our marriage that have to change or had changed to better support me. I think that there's some dependency of certain things that I would manage that you've had to kind of like take over for me, because I'm just not mentally there, because I'm like mush with everything. I look at a computer screen and I'm just like, what am I doing right now,
man? And it's, you know,
I think that was the turning point. And it's like, yes, I did school already and I had great grades, and this is my first semester back in what, that's at 15, 7 years.
Math is not my strong suit.
6 years. 6 years. Math. I used to be really good at math. I don't know what happened. I have some grades to prove it. But
it's been about 7 years. But yeah, like six, 7 years.
6, 7 years. And I can't say, like, I give you a tremendous amount of credit for dealing with what, everything you dealt with. Not only were you pregnant, you were working, you were two jobs at the time too.
Yeah, that's right.
You were at the hospital. You were, so it was just like, that school, a newborn, mm-hmm. me working, trying to take care of you as well, mm-hmm. renting. It was like, it was just so much so early on. And then we got the house, Evelyn, and you were still in school. Like, yeah, when everything happened with Evelyn, you got some extensions and you were able to take a break for a quick little bit, mm-hmm. but you jumped right back in, finished. But man.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't until you started doing the work that it became kind of more eye-opening, mm-hmm. right? So you spoke to just some of the stuff that just, and this is like regular, like basic stuff in our household of, you know, before you would take more initiative in like starting the laundry or, you know, doing the floor and things like that. And so now it's just, there was a lot of like me relying on you to do these things so I can have the brain room to process the stuff that I needed to do and get myself in order for work and school and mm-hmm. documentation, all those fun things. And then interning at the same time. And we have incredible,
for that.
We have an incredible support.
Throwing an interning thing in there. I'm like, yo, y'all need to stop.
Throwing in, you know, what Evelyn needs also, and we have a great support in our family to be able to kind of back that up as well. But it definitely has been a shift in just the basic things. And that was a learning curve because there are certain things here just in running the house that I wouldn't do. I wouldn't, I wasn't the one responsible for cleaning the bathroom because of almost suffocating myself in there.
You got weak lungs.
Because I'm asthmatic and we use everything.
And bleach, the slightest sense of bleach, it could be like a perfume scented bleach and you're like.
But.
My lungs.
But I've taken more initiative in doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sweeping also was, the sweeping and the mopping. I wasn't doing because it would flare up my fibromyalgia that is, you know, very affected by stress. And so because I've been in a much better place, I don't have flare-ups the way that I did. So I was so proud of myself for being able to, like, sweep and mop. And then the laundry, it's like, I got some messed up knees. I'm bringing the laundry down the stairs. So we were able to say, like, okay, you can bring it down. I'll get it done. Mm-hmm. And I at least can get it done in a whole day. But that's another episode.
I still feel like the me having my surgery was like a eye-opener for you. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I can do it. You know I what? Did it. It did. It did because
I am woman. I am strong. Think,
well, and it's a lot of unlearning too. Like there was, I never necessarily had the role model of like what a marriage is supposed to look like. So I know what a strong, independent, single mom looks like. And you just do all the things and you just push through it. But I didn't know how you're supposed to share that with someone and it not be like almost demonized. Because why is it like, you know, I remember
you said that and I just like having like my the marriage I idolize is my grandparents. And I'm like, my grandma did the laundry up and down. My grandfather was out doing the yard. And it was just like very this outside grandpa, inside grandma.
Yeah.
My grandfather would cook. He would clean up a little bit. But right. It was all grandma.
Right.
I'm like, oh, man.
Well, and then, I mean, it speaks to the culture at the time, too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's that thing. It's like, and I have to like reflect on me. I'm like, no, I'm okay with cooking. I'm okay with cleaning. I'm okay with doing the laundry. I'm okay with. Don't you dare touch the trash. I'll take it out.
Right. Which I got to take out the trash by myself while you had surgery. Yeah. I'm really not allowed to take out the trash. Not because I can't. I'm just genuinely not allowed. He doesn't like me doing that. And so.
Maybe that's just a. I don't know.
Right. So we had to have some genuine conversations around that. And yeah, it took you having surgery for me to even be able to say, like, I don't necessarily have to wait on you to do these things, but let's be real. It was a lot of the frustration of like, why do I have to ask 1,000 times for you to want to clean the space that you live in? And to tack on to that, that you showing up for me isn't you cleaning up the space that you live in. Mm-hmm. You know, like that it means more than
eye-openers.
That. Right. And so these were all very real conversations that we have had and continue to have because it's not. It's forever learning, right? And so I think some of the things also that have shifted on my end and how I need support from you now, where it's not necessarily as like task oriented, it's holding space for me emotionally in a different way, because now it's not so much like Captain Save-A-Ho, you know, it's not like, hey, you know, I'm having this panic attack or I'm having anxiety or sometimes there's moments like that, but more so it's, I just need to converse about this. I just need to vent about this, or I need you to actually kind of like, what's your insight on this? And so the new frustration was, I'm talking to you about something and I want feedback and you are like deer in the headlights.
I was still in the cart. It was just in the cart.
It didn't even click purchase.
No, you're sitting in the process, you know, process yeah, and checkout.
Processing checkout.
I didn't check out yet. It wasn't on its way.
It wasn't on its way.
It didn't get shipped. No, no notifications none of yet. It.
None of it. None of it. And a lot of that looked like, hey, I need you to just like actually be present. And like, I'm acknowledging. I think there was even like a little brief in time where I'm like, okay, let's acknowledge your ADHD before I even go into this. Like, you need to stand up, sit down. You mm-hmm. know, do you got to like touch something? You do still, you gotta, like,
man, I'm surprised you didn't do that now.
How can I reel you in? But again, it's understanding what approach I need to have in order to receive the support that I need. And that is insight that has only been gained through our experiences that we've shared together. You know, I wouldn't know that I have to work on myself being patient if not for you telling me that you felt like you had to walk on eggshells around me. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. I always felt very patient because of the work that I do require me to be patient, whereas it wasn't translating at home the way that I intended for it to be. And I was more short fused. And that was speaking to a lot more other things and burnout and all of that. So you have been a pivotal person in my development of insight and self-awareness mm-hmm. Because you have, it's a safe enough space for you to call me out and vice versa.
Yeah. It's a lot safer space. We're able to converse.
We're able to converse. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's why, is that like why Converse is called Converse? Let's converse about sneakers. Why is Converse called Converse? I wonder.
That's leave that in the comments, guys. Answer that for her, because I can't think of that. Don't make me. I'll ask the question.
No. No, because that's about to make everybody who's no leave that little computer answers all funny. Amazon thing alone. So now thinking about like all of the things that we've gone through and have thankfully
made it through.
Odds were against us on many occasions.
So many.
Yeah, even I was like tapped out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And some may have noticed, some may have not at that point in time on social media, but we really were at odds. And what's crazy though, is that throughout all that, one thing that remained, even though we're talking about some challenges we've had in our communication has always been our biggest strength,
mm-hmm.
even through that, because we're both very willing to listen.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I? Like, I feel like the communication, I don't feel like there's a need to argue over something.
Mm-hmm.
Because arguing is just two misunderstood people.
Two misunderstood people miscommunicating.
Yeah, just saying what's on the tip of their...
And defensive, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, I need you to hear me, so now I'm just going to get louder and I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you're just like sitting there like, listen, what do we talk about? What were we really arguing about?
Here is the what is it people say? The secret sauce. Reiterate back to the person you are having a conversation with what you heard. So something as like if you're talking to me and I'm saying, so what I'm hearing is
mm-hmm.
XYZ, or it sounds like XYZ.
Are you informing it in this way?
Yeah, like confirm what you're hearing before you respond, because at that point, if you misheard or misunderstood, then the other person can sit around and say, "No, actually, that's not what I mean. This is what I mean," mm-hmm. and you're asking for clarity before you answer, and you know, try to reduce an opportunity for becoming defensive. That, my friends, is called active listening. Because the other part that you would do often is
catch like 10% and then just respond.
You
or try to respond before you finish speaking.
You would be listening to respond. Mm-hmm. You weren't even listening to what I was saying. Oh my gosh. So this is a combination of challenges with attention and also just the immediate reaction of like getting defensive. He would legit pause whatever it is that I was about to say. We could be in a very important topic and I could be venting about a thing. And this mofo would turn around and was like, wait, hold on. I'm just like, okay, do you have to say, no, I need to say this thing. Did you know there was a black squirrel in the backyard yesterday? Just chilling.
It didn't have nothing to do with what we were talking about. It was just, I think it was maybe a deflection. It was just like, I don't want to talk about this right now.
Ooh.
Maybe. Could have been.
It felt like a commercial to like a Lifetime movie. And that's just so annoying. So, but again, just kind of learning to navigate those things. And when I say like, y'all, I was praying for patience. And so all the trials and tribulations were presented to me. And during those moments, I didn't have the level of patience that I wanted. So I wasn't going to be able to communicate to him effectively that I'm like, you know, I don't like that. That's what you're doing. I would just be really rude and I would get really angry, which, yes, my emotions behind that were valid. I was allowed to be upset because I couldn't hold your attention for shit. But it was coming to a point where, what are we doing if we're just circling the drain on the same things all the time? That was always just not following through mm-hmm. on things. And it wasn't even a comparison as to who's putting the most effort, more so than it was is like, what are we missing? And I think that, again, speaking to insight, it has been, we needed to learn who we are as individuals. Mm-hmm. What ways we need to communicate, what ways we need to show love, what ways, you know, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, and learn to integrate that. And that's something that if you're single, that's what you should be doing right now. Learn that now, because having to learn who we are as individuals while being married,
that's like another full-time job.
And then making it work. Y'all, that ain't easy.
We did it though.
We doing it, baby. But it could have been done. Mm-hmm. You know,
earlier on, yeah.
And that takes self-awareness, knowing that this is something that you should be doing. And if there's anything I can say to anybody who's out there and who's single and just like, yo, live your life with intention, learn who you are, date yourself. How do you need to communicate? How do you need to show love? I know what
your love language is.
Like genuinely and know yourself as a whole person. Find out what you're rooted in, what gives you faith, what gives you motivation. Find out all of these things so that the person that you're with isn't trying to figure it out at the same time that you are, and then you're getting mad at them because they don't know when you don't even know.
Mm-hmm. I don't got nothing to say because I know.
You just like that side eye, bro.
I'm learning.
but so am I. Mm-hmm. So am I. You know, I think for a long time, because of me being in this field before you stepped into it, it was almost like what I'm sure happens to all the therapists in their family. Like, we're looked at to be the person who can...
Oh, you got this. You know how to handle all of it.
And who can guide these kinds of conversations. And I was like, yo, I'm not... I don't want to be a therapist at home. I just want to be a wife and a mom at home.
I just want to go to sleep. I just want to talk about what happened on America's Top Model season 5. And we haven't even watched it. I know that's just a very random thought, ADHD, but it's we're at the dinner table. I don't want to have my work brain on.
Right.
I want to talk and about that, how that this chicken is.
That was a big thing. I always felt like I was on with mm-hmm. everybody all the time. And that was a boundary thing for me.
Yeah. Which you set that boundary, which boundaries are huge.
Especially in all kinds of relationships, mm-hmm. but especially in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, like, read your vows before you actually speak them to someone. Read vows, Google vows, and actually define what that means for you. Like, I'm going to need everybody to rewrite vows in their own words to understand what they're saying, because it is through everything, through thick and thin, through everything. And if you feel like you can easily walk away from the person you married, you probably shouldn't be married.
Well, that's you know, learn yourself before you try to learn each other.
Yeah.
Or learn yourself while you're together.
And I had to learn that. That's not me saying that to just point fingers at anybody else. How many times I sat here, and you've been so incredibly patient with me mm-hmm. through a lot of moments where I'm just like, I am figuring myself out. And it was through all of that that I had to turn around and say, you gave me so much space to learn me in this last decade. I need to be able to do the same thing for you and have the same patience, understanding, compassion, you know, cater to you in the same ways that you have to me, while still being able to expect you
mm-hmm.
to continue
to do the same.
Mm-hmm. And that's been our current shift and I think now for both of us, we're both finding our own individual footing with our faith.
Yeah.
And sharing that together in some aspects as well, you know, but still very individual, very personal to ourselves, which again, ideally would have been something that we would have done outside of a relationship and then, you know, come into.
Well, that all depends on someone's real upbringing, really.
Right.
Because some, like me, I had a few inputs of religion.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I had my own rail, just because we're going to go purposely derailed. I wasn't on my own train track with it. You know, there was a few tracks that I was looking at.
Mm.
And I was at the end, you know, where they have the button where it switches into each one.
You did the motion of a lover and you said button, but yes.
You know what I meant. They don't know what I did. It's a button because technology.
Okay.
But yeah, so I had a lot, and I always had that belief system of there's a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Someone above controls it all.
Yeah.
You know, feelings and sense, the Holy Spirit, which in my head then wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was just my guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it was just those things. And with another episode going into my feelings when I seen you, again, we've known each other since high school.
Yeah.
But that day, from then, it was just like, those feelings have always been with me for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's now going into finding more deep and understanding of religion. It's just like, it's an explanation beyond what my thoughts were.
And it's not just, it's not necessarily religion.
No.
More so than it is
an understanding
of your faith and your belief mm-hmm. system, because I think religion can get really tied up to like a specific kind of.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Sorry.
You know? No. I think that that's, again, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view on it, because I've been tied to Catholic roots for my entire life. And though that's still a part of me, I'm learning my walk in Christ as a person and not necessarily as a Catholic.
And that's kind of how where I'm at. I'm like, I'm finding my person
right.
in it.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we think kind of like, you know, these last 3 months that have been, has it been 3 months? 3 months going on 4. Yeah. This big transition on my end
mm-hmm.
and everything that it meant for us, you know, it was a big shift for us, just kind of like household wise, responsibility wise, and required you to be comfortable with this decision that meant
comfortable is not the word.
Okay.
It's supportive. Because I looked at it as this is something greater than you. When you would speak about it, you lit up, and this is for all of it. Kind of like how I was with Green Fox.
You know what's so funny? I think that I'm going to come back to that because I do actually, yes, I'm going to come back to that. Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way, because even in this moment, I felt for a while like it was a big thing, a big ask of me to say, are you comfortable with taking this kind of step back financially? Because let's keep it real, it was a financial thing. Mm-hmm. And letting me go into the direction that was of higher economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that exchange, because it culturally isn't what we were accustomed to, right? And so how can we do this, but in our household still experience you as being our head of the household and really not correlate that to who was bringing in the higher income, because it's still our income. And so I really appreciate you saying that. It's not about comfort. It was about being supportive.
Now, even thinking about the dollar sign, I remember when we like first started dating, I used to always say, you know, the famous what mine is yours and what's yours is yours.
Yes.
And you hated it. And now it's just like we understand that I said it so much that you just would like.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I won't say it because I don't care if you make more than me. I don't care if I made more than you. Guess what? At the end of the day, we're still married.
It's all in the same account.
It's all in the same account. And guess what? I ask. You ask. We talk about it.
Right.
We're going to do this. And
we make all the decisions.
It's not
together.
Like, okay, yeah, that money is in that account. And yeah, she makes more than me. I'm not going to go swipe and buy a car.
Right. But that's just an expectant of being married. Like all things are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't make any decisions without coming to you. You don't make any decisions. And that's just respect. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets caught up. And we're definitely going to have to continue that conversation because that gets caught up in what it means to be like the man of the house. I think stereotypically, it's like law.
Stereotypically, I'm breaking that stereotype.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I don't need to be this machismo guy that controls everything. No,
right. You're not.
I don't want a woman behind me. I want a woman beside me.
And I don't. I'm not a woman that's demasculating either. I think that we both do our very best to hold each other up and hold each other accountable and just maneuver our way through this world. Because, at the end of the day, bro, I'm doing life with you. Like, I can do that.
Until the end of forever.
Always, yes, baby, and then another forever. This can either be miserable or we can embrace what it is. And I think that we've gone through more in 9 years than people have gone throughout their entire marriage. Mm-hmm. And one day I would say we'll write a book about it, but it hasn't been easy. And this is the first time we finally get to fall into a routine of like making our marriage and our relationship priority,
mm-hmm.
And that's a blessing. So now, again, speaking to the insight piece, because we wouldn't have been able to get to this point if not for each other, if not for us holding each other accountable. And now we're able to catch ourselves in those moments and practice that self-validation and that emotional regulation and more so lean on the other person as needed, but then use the other person more intentionally or come to the other person more intentionally. It's like, now I don't need you to help me put out the fire, more so than I need you to help me kind of like
talk about
logically or understand the situation. And, you know, and that is kind of where we are now, and have actual dialogue where it's not, I don't need you to fix this for me and I don't need to fix this for you. Mm-hmm. But like, I do think I need to kind of talk about it and, you know, let it out, or I need to like kind of brainstorm this with you, or I need your opinion, and I value that more than anything. So, and the idea of embracing insight, embrace the moments that somebody else is bringing it to your attention, somebody that you, that knows you at your core and that you can trust and that loves you, because their intention is probably a good intention. You know, the delivery may not always be good. I can tell you, I love my sister to death, but she could be mean, honest, but mean about it sometimes.
Bro, you can do the same with me. There's moments where I'm just like, I'm going to take that. I'm going to eat that because you're right.
But that's not necessarily like the first time. That's like the eighth time.
Or maybe like the fourth time you hit the button and you're checking out and it's registered and it's like, oh, she right. And you know what? Every time that you talk to me after that is the delayed message. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, your package would be shipped, but you know, there's an error. I had to deal with that and reflect on it. Process. Guess what? It's shipped out.
And I am learning to be patient because this is still development. Mm-hmm. This is still growth. And we're not perfect by any means. So now, elephant in the room. Also, I'm wearing shorts and this is like a leather chair and I am stuck to it like plastic on my grandma's couch. It's like I will peel off of this right now. Well, y'all heard that. I know y'all heard that. That was a...
I heard it. I heard the skin peel.
The skin peel. So elephant in the room. Talk to us a little bit about Green Fox. There's been some time, obviously a lot of decisions, a lot of just things that have gone on around. But so is there anything around that that you want to speak to right now? And as it pertains also to kind of gaining insight, that was your first business, an incredible business.
Yeah, it's still my business and it's still there. It's not gone. I guess I've done a lot of self-reflection and had to really just reevaluate everything about it.
Yeah.
There was just moments where I guess I had mental blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And
reflection leads to insight.
Yeah. So it's just mental blocks of, I would be in the shop and I just didn't have the motivation to really think about what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So, but I've been planning a rebrand of it for some time.
Yeah.
We've talked about it already a few times, but then it gets talked about and then it's like, okay, well, yeah. I'm going to put it back in this journal for a little bit.
And I mean, how long was I sitting on this podcast?
2 years.
You know,
and I'm really, if anything, I'm only a year in. And
right.
The phone still rings.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, people are still looking for you all the time.
It's crazy and that's like the reassurance of the quality work that I was putting in. So it's like that confirmation.
Right. And more so as we talk about like this learning ourselves as individuals, mm-hmm. learning our strengths and our weaknesses. I think one of the things that you've spoken to when it comes to this topic is your discipline and your time management. And that's like a you thing. I can't say you need to do these things according to how I expect you to do them.
Yeah.
That's something that you have to reflect on and kind of grow in your own person and part of that individual work that y'all should be doing when you're single. So it's not this hard. But this is why your community matters, because you want to be held accountable in the most respectful way for the things that you know that are areas that need additional support, and community matters around that. And so now you have been more intentional with building community in the right spaces and the kind of community that you need. And this is where, if you're feeling like you're having space from your partner, or you know they're more withdrawn and all that, it very well could just be that they might need that, and that's not bad. You know, we're not...
We're like butterflies. I was in my cocoon.
Oh my gosh. Right. And like, that is okay. And we immediately like take offense when like, I did something wrong. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
You had nothing to do with
but
it.
But if you can't handle having space from your partner, healthy space from your partner, and that makes you uncomfortable, then you got to check what you're doing with that time for you. Because when he's doing what he has to do, it gives me time to focus on something that I want to do. Do I miss him?
Duh.
Does he miss me?
Duh.
But I can't expect him to, like, we can't expect each other to just be glued at the hip all the time, because we have to grow. There's this level of individual growth.
But we still have those moments where it's just like, I don't want to do nothing right now. Can we just hug?
Yeah. and we give ourselves that, you know, that's the other part. So communication is everything, you guys, honestly. And I think that, especially for couples, when it comes to identity and learning yourself and doing all this work, understand that it could require solitude within relationship. And doing that without communication is going to create for another person to just have assumptions and get defensive. So communication really, really is what has saved us many times. And now we're the most like integrated and on the same page that we ever have been, while we are both really prioritizing our own individual work at the same time, which is bugged out.
Yeah, it is. Now you think, but like really thinking about it, like worded that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Our schedules are different. We're in bed kind of at different times. You know, we're not eating at the same times, but it's a part of the process. Like, you know, you're working, I'm working, you're in school, I have the business, you know, it's, and the house, like it's a lot of different responsibilities that our schedules don't necessarily align. That's why when we are together, we have to be more intentional. And that's why we have to make sure that we stay in good graces with one another and that we're communicating, because we don't want the bits that of time that we do get together to be tainted with a bad attitude.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I just wanted to like come watch this show with you, but you got this stank face.
Like, I'ma always have the stank face. It's genetic.
Yeah, that's just your face. I look at it two times a day. And I'm not talking about your face. I'm talking about Evelyn.
Oh, I was like, what? You?
Yeah, I get it double.
Three if you consider mom. Four if I talk to Jasmine.
I'm not gonna say nothing. Nope. Nope.
So, honey, overall, in thinking about, like, obviously these last incredible 9 years, the level of insight that you had at the beginning of our relationship in comparison to now, what is the biggest takeaway and the thing you learned the most about reflection and self-awareness?
It's needed.
Yeah.
It's neat, much needed. A lot of that self-reflection and insight kind of, it molded a better me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, it's like, I reflected on how I would speak before.
Yeah.
And man, my tongue was sharp.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, that's, you said it perfectly though. Like, insight and awareness is putting the mirror in front of yourself and seeing yourself.
Yeah. A lot of moments I had to replay back in my head. Mm. And now there's times where I just won't speak. And people probably look at me like, did I say something? No.
The little art of like, you ain't gonna necessarily don't say nothing at all.
No, I'm filtering it right now. And I'm trying to say this like 10, I'm Dr. Strange right now. I'm saying it multiple times in my head to make sure that in every scenario, this comes out perfect.
Yeah.
And it doesn't offend you, because I don't want to offend you.
Right.
Or I'm going to do my best to not offend you.
And intention versus impact. Your intention may have been great, but you can't guarantee the impact it's going to have on somebody. And you got to acknowledge that in self-awareness, you can only do so much because you can't control the other person. No matter how much you may have tried to deliver something nicely, or, you know, you cannot control another person's reaction to whatever you say or do. Mm-hmm. And you have to find some acceptance in that. And that's its own journey. That's
a different journey, yeah.
Whole journey.
Another episode.
So many episodes. Well, I mean, I highly doubt this is going to be the last time you're on here, bro.
Oh, I don't think so either.
So, in wrapping up, thank you so much, sweetheart, for
you're very welcome.
For joining me on my podcast today. Anytime. I am proud of you because you stayed present for all of it. You didn't know what any of these questions were, and you stayed completely appropriate, and good for you. That was awesome.
I'm evolving.
You transforming. Know? Proud of you, babe.
Transformation.
Progression over perfection.
You're right.
Yeah, I had that on a mug and you broke it. So
again,
I hope that you guys I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode again, you know. And I always say
do the dishes.
Right. And like I always say, this is completely raw and unfiltered and unedited because this is just who we are. And this is who Hav and I are all of the time. This is how we...
All the time.
Ask anybody who be around us. This is how we talk. This is how we communicate with each other. This is how our quote-unquote disagreements and arguments would be, because we genuinely do try to listen and hear the other person. And it's not easy. That's not to say we don't get mad, but like, when I can tell y'all, explosive arguments don't happen here because of how much energy and intention we put into communication and into ourselves, because that's where that starts. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. And I mean, any last words, sir?
Have a nice evening, morning, whatever time you hear this. I hope you guys are having a blessed and beautiful day.
Amen. All right, you guys, I will catch you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out. Thanks for tuning in to the Purposely Derailed podcast. For more information about me or about my books, Ollie the Calming Elf and Ellie the Meditation Elf, please visit my website at www.beneaththehealing.com. And remember, go out and live the best life that you can, as it is in His will.